This morning's sermon is called The Anointing at Bethany from John chapter 12, verse 1 through 11. As we continue our journey through the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. John chapter 12, we're halfway through the book. Since the beginning of this gospel, I've mentioned that 99% of the time when John, the Apostle John, refers to the Jews who were plotting the death of Jesus, he's writing about the wicked religious leaders. He's writing about the wicked priests during this time, not the Jewish people in general. Okay, I've been saying that since the beginning of this gospel, and it's clear for us to know that he is talking about the religious priests during that time, not the Jewish people. We've got the skin. I just saw Tony go down there. He must have one of the walkie-talkies with him or something. We're still here. We're going to be just fine, Tony. Just don't lock him out. Okay. Speaking of the Jewish people, we really need to keep them in our prayers. They are being wrongfully persecuted all around the world. We need to keep them in our prayers. They're close friends of ours. And it's sad that wherever they go all over the world, they're being persecuted. Totally wrongful, too. Not that they're perfect. We're not either. But we really need to keep them in our prayers. And we know some of you out here have close friends and family of the Jewish people that are being persecuted. Keep in mind, Satan has been trying to wipe out Israel since the beginning of time. You know that, right? You're in the Word. He's been trying to wipe them out. God's not going to let this happen. Yeah. In 3 days, exactly. Yep. I mean, it's Satan's behind all this. He's been trying to wipe out Israel, like I said, from the beginning of times. God's not going to let it happen. Look at how many people have tried to destroy these people. It's not going to happen. So we need to keep them in prayer. And I want to share a passage with just a verse with you this morning that I want you to keep in mind. That God said in the Scripture, "Those who bless Israel shall be blessed. And those who curse Israel will be cursed." That's in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. And Moses repeated it to Israel before they headed into the promised land in Numbers 24:9. That's God's words. You bless my people, I'll bless you. You curse them, I'm going to curse you. We need to keep that in mind. So, but I want you to know that the Apostle John, when he writes 99% of the time, when he says the Jews, he's talking about those crooked, corrupt religious leaders during the time. Not so much the Jewish people. Once in a while, he'll say the Jews, and he is talking, referring to the Jewish people. But I usually tell you which one he's talking about, but mostly it's the religious leaders of the time that were trying to kill Jesus. This morning, as we begin chapter 12, we're 6 days before the Passover when Jesus would be crucified. So chapter 12 through chapter 19 takes place over 6 days. The Apostle John had a lot to say during those 6 days, right? The first half of John's gospel, John covers the first 3 years of Jesus' ministry. And the second half of John's gospel, he covers Jesus' last week. So from here until the end, this is 1 week. Probably going to take us several months, but it is 1 week's worth of John writing. So as we transition now into chapter 12, a celebration dinner is being held for Jesus for raising Lazarus from the dead that we finished up in chapter 11. And this dinner was held 6 days before Calvary, before Jesus would go to the cross. Okay, Matthew, He recorded this event as well in Matthew 26, and Mark also recorded this event in Mark 14. They parallel John's story here. Both recorded, Matthew and Mark recorded that this dinner took place at Simon the leper's house, who Jesus healed. Okay? So in this passage, we're going to see what the Lord thinks about our heart, because it becomes a place where this one woman by the name of Mary does a remarkable thing that God honors for all of eternity. We are also going to read about a very wicked man by the name of Judas, who hates the Lord, he loves himself, and he loves money. So Jesus is anointed and loved by one in this story, and he is betrayed in hate by another as we go through this story. So let's go through the Word of God. If you brought your Bible with you, if you can turn to the Gospel of John chapter 12, or you can follow along on the wall. Let's look at verses 1 through 3. John wrote, "Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. There they made Jesus a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with Jesus. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil." 6 days before Jesus would be our final Passover lamb in the purpose of God, before he would be whipped, beaten, and nailed to a cross, he came to Bethany, where there was a dinner being held in honor of him. This is what we're reading about. And during this dinner event, Mary got up from the table and began to anoint Jesus with her very costly fragrance oil. Matthew and Mark recorded that she poured the oil on Jesus' head, and John said, she also did his feet. Good chance she probably anointed his head with this oil. It ran right down and to his feet. And then she dropped to her feet and began to wash his feet with this oil with her hair. Probably had long hair. Most of the women had long hair. This is what she began to do. Now, this is a sign of love and gratitude that Mary had for Jesus. This is lavish affection. This gives us a clear picture of someone who loves the Lord dearly. This was an act of worship motivated by her love. Okay? Mary brought forth a very expensive perfume, oil, worth 300 denarii. That is a year's wage. She brought forth her best for the Lord, motivated by her love for him. This is why she did this. This is a beautiful picture of her love for Jesus Christ. Mary did this remarkable thing that Scripture tells us that God honors for eternity. A memorial to her. It's amazing. And Mary did it in front of everyone. And everyone was affected by this worship. It says that the house was filled with fragrance of oil. And this is what true worship can do. It can affect all of us. Amen? John tells us that the whole house smelled like pure perfume. Must have smelled pretty darn good. The whole house, you could just smell this as she worships the Lord, this very costly oil that she had probably been saving up for a while. So after Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, let's see what happens next. Let's go ahead. Let's look at verses 4 through 6. John wrote, "But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray Jesus, said, 'Why was this fragrance oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?' This he said," John wrote, "this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the money box and he used to take what was put in it." So here's Judas, if you can see the scene here. Judas is fuming. "Why did you waste this fragrance oil? It's worth a year's wage. What's the matter with you, Mary? We could have given this to the poor." Now that sounds good, if you mean it. But John, he tells us, Judas didn't care about the poor. John wrote, he said this because he was a thief. And he had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. Judas's heart wasn't into blessing others. Judas was interested in blessing his own pockets. This is the fellow we're dealing with in the scriptures. Judas Iscariot, as John wrote, is a thief, an extortioner. He oversaw the money box, and he was cooking the books. Cooking the books right here. He didn't care about the poor. He wanted the money for himself. Judas was a lover of money, not a lover of God. He cherished money, not the Lord. He took what did not belong to him. Judas hung around with Jesus, but he belonged to the devil. Not a good place to be. He was what you call a false disciple, a false follower of Jesus Christ. He was a false believer. Judas hung around with Jesus for 3 years. Listen, he hung around with Jesus, our Lord, God in the flesh, for 3 years. And we don't read anything good about this man. No message. No honor. No worship. No helping out anyone. No love for Christ. No change of heart. That was Judas. I want to share a passage with you. If you brought your Bible with you, go to Matthew 26. This took place at the Last Supper. You probably know this passage well. Matthew chapter 26. I'll let you get there. Sure is great hearing those Bible pages from up here. Matthew chapter 26. I want you to go down to verse 20. It took place at the Last Supper. I'm going to read verse 20 through 25. Matthew wrote, "When evening had come, Jesus sat down with the 12. Now, as they were eating, Jesus said, 'As surely I say to you, one of you will betray me.' And they were exceedingly sorrowful. And each of them began to say to Jesus, 'Lord, is it I?' Jesus answered and said, 'He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it was written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Verse 25. Then Judas, who was betraying Jesus, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? Jesus said to him, You have said it. Here's what I want you to notice. I want you to go to verse 22 of that passage. Maybe you've never noticed this before. Maybe you have. Go to verse 22. It says, Each of them said, Lord, is it I? Now I want you to go down to verse 25. Judas said, Rabbi, is it I? Here's the point. 11 of the disciples confessed Jesus as Lord. Judas referred to Jesus as rabbi only, or teacher. Judas never confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord. You see that? He looked at Jesus as he's just a teacher. He's just a rabbi. He's not Lord. I don't know if you guys have seen that in Scripture. But this man never viewed Jesus as Lord. 11 of them did. They confessed, Lord, is it I? I want you to understand and know that confessing and believing that Jesus Christ is Lord is very important. It's part of your salvation. Believing it in the heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? Jesus is Lord. And believing in it is very important. 11 of his disciples said, Lord. Judas said, Rabbi, did I? He never looked at Jesus as Lord. He belonged to the devil. I want you to look at verse 24 in that same passage. You still got your Bible open. Jesus said, The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written about him. But woe to that man, Judas, by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good had he never been born. That's some strong language. I don't know if you guys know a preacher called J.C. Ryle. He was a preacher in the 1800s. He said some very powerful words. And when I read them, I was like, that's very strong. And I wondered where he got that. He got that from Jesus. You know what he said? Unless one is born again, one day he will wish he had never been born. Wow. When I read that, I said, I wonder where that's strong. You got that right from here. Jesus said the same thing. It would have been better off if Jesus had not been born than to go. Judas, it would have been better if Judas had not been born because he wasn't saved and he knew where he was heading. And J.C. Riley wrote, unless one is born again, he will one day wish he had never been born. Judas hung around with Jesus but belonged to the devil. Judas was a wicked man among godly people. His heart didn't align with God. And that was his end of him. So after Mary receives this humiliation from Judas, let's go back to our passage. Back in the Gospel of John, we're going to go down to verse 7 and 8. So after Mary has done this wonderful thing and now is getting humiliated by Judas, let's look at Jesus' response. Verse 7 says, But Jesus said, Shut up! Not really. He said, Let her alone. He's a little more merciful than I am. And it says, he told him, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. That's interesting, right? For the poor you have with you always, Jesus said. You can help them all you want. You have the poor with you every day. He says, but me you do not always have, or have always. Jesus turns to this spiritually dead bully, and he says, leave her alone. Right? In other words, get lost. Then Jesus tells everyone in the room this. Mary has kept this or saved this for the day of my burial. Now, here's what's interesting. Mary might have been the only one who was able to recognize that Jesus was going to die before he did. And she pre-planned this because Jesus said, Mary kept this or saved this for the day, the very day, for my burial. Now, whenever we read in the scriptures about this Mary, she's always sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to his word. Every time, this Mary is always sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to his words, paying attention to Jesus' words. Mary probably knew that the Lord was going to die soon, but he was going to rise soon. Jesus told his disciples over and over, I'm going to be handed over to the Romans. They're going to crucify me, but in 3 days I'm going to be raised from the dead. But it went in one ear and out the other with the disciples, not Mary. Not Mary. She heard Jesus say this, and it stuck with her. She believed it. Maybe Mary understood what disciples missed. Mary understood that Jesus was going to die and come back. And she was like, I am going to anoint Jesus now. In faith, I'll anoint him now. I know he's coming back. He told me he was. It's an act of tremendous faith, huh? I mean, incredible faith this woman had in the Lord. According to Scripture, this Mary didn't even go to Jesus' tomb. She didn't even go to his crucifixion. She was like, no need. He's coming back in 3 days. He told me. Right? Talk about a woman with amazing faith in Christ. She never even went. I don't need to go to the tomb. I don't even need to go see Jesus be crucified. I'd rather not even watch that. He's coming back anyway. He told me. Incredible faith this woman has. Mark recorded Jesus saying, let her alone, speaking of Mary. Why do you trouble Mary? She has done a good work for me, Jesus said. Mary has done what she could. Mark wrote, she has come beforehand to anoint me, anoint my body for my burial. As surely I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, Jesus said, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Jesus said, we're going to remember what Mary did for eternity. That's amazing. Mary didn't think twice about it. She didn't think twice about what she did. The house was full. There was probably 20, 30 people there. All the disciples were there. Mary was there. Martha was there. Lazarus. Simon. It was his home. And others came. Mary didn't faze her one bit. She gets her expensive oil, and she starts to anoint the Lord for her, for his burial. She brought her best to the Lord, motivated by her love. This is why she does this. It's motivated by love for Christ. What this woman has done will be also be told as a memorial to her, said the Lord. For all of eternity. Pretty cool. She probably saved this very expensive anointing oil this pure perfume for this very moment. This was her gift offering to the Lord. Right? This was a love offering to the Lord, if you will, which will be a memorial to her for all of eternity. Amazing. You know, during this time, people would anoint the dead bodies, okay? During this time, they didn't embalm them. They would take their anointing oils, all their perfumes, and they would come and they would anoint the dead bodies because after a few days, they began to really smell. That's why they did this. Mary didn't, but Mary says, I'm going to do this before he dies. Knowing that Jesus was going to rise 3 days later from the dead. Incredible faith. No need for perfume for Jesus. He's coming back in 3 days. I hope you are trusting in Christ like Mary did. Standing on your faith like this woman did. This is incredible. I'm going to anoint Jesus with this very costly fragrance oil. Listen, so we can enjoy it now. I've done probably a dozen funerals since I've been here in 4 years. And I've seen some really beautiful flowers given. And I've often thought, as I was standing here seeing these flowers, I wish they would have gave them to her when she was alive. Amen? I've seen some beautiful flowers and often thought as I look out at over 100 people here packed at a funeral, seeing, I wish they would have given her these flowers while she was alive. Listen. Give your loved ones flowers while they're alive so they can enjoy them. They can see them and they can smile. Give them to them while they're alive. Bless them while they're alive. Flowers can go a long way with your loved ones, especially your women, right? Flowers, I'll tell you what, I came home Valentine's Day. I came home for... Right, Michelle? I came home with some flowers on Valentine's Day. I walked through that door. Michelle's face lit up. Oh, melted my heart. Melted my heart. I'm going to tell you right now, I got some good brownie points that day. Those flowers lasted, I think, 2 weeks. Every time Michelle passed by the dining room and looked at it, she said, these are beautiful. Man, give these flowers to your people while they're alive. That's what Mary did. I've got this expensive oil. I'm going to give it to Jesus now so he can enjoy it. And hey, I can see his face smiling. Let's look at verses 9 through 11. Now John wrote, verse 9 through 11, now a great many of the Jews knew that Jesus was there, and they came, not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, they heard he's been risen from the dead, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. But the chief priest, here we go, plotted to put Lazarus to death also. Why? Look at verse 11. Because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. Wow, huh? These wicked priests wanted to put Lazarus to death now. What's this guy done? He's been raised from the dead. What did he do? Why do they want to put Lazarus to death now? Because he became a great testimony of Jesus Christ. We got to kill Lazarus. He's going to be out there sharing his faith in Christ. We got to put this to an end. See how wicked these religious leaders were? Matthew and Mark recorded that after this dinner event took place, Judas Iscariot went to the chief priest and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver Jesus to you?" And they counted out to Judas 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, Judas sought an opportunity to betray Jesus for money. He was a lover of money, not a lover of God. Judas had sold his soul to the devil. One last thing, then we'll close. Get you guys home here before it gets too bad. I just want to say, this Mary that we read about in the scriptures, she had an incredible devotion to the Lord. Totally in love with Jesus Christ. Totally committed to Jesus and His Word. Like many of you women who are here today. Amen? Jesus is your life. You are His. He is yours. He lives in you. You live in Him. You abide in Him, and He abides in you. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for speaking to us through Your Word this morning. We thank You for spiritually feeding us with Your Word, Lord. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.